For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is continuing coverage.
The Black Swan murder trial of Ashley Benefield from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Now back to the courtroom.
So after the attachment, what's the next communication?
It's a message from Doug to Ashley Christina. I'll just head your way at 1:30. Ashley Christina responds, ha, nice, okay, just getting our things together now. Maybe head over in like 10 minutes. 10 am I in? Doug responds, okay. And then after that is appears to be an email from Doug to Ashley.
And after that?
After that is incoming message from Doug. Do you want to get together tonight or in morning before mediation and unify the instructions for Faith and Stephanie? Think we are going to need to keep involved until this is done or will drag out. She responds, ha, okay, thumbs up. He responds, thumbs up. Prefer tonight, maybe run over Pandera or in AM question mark. And she responds, sure, can do Panera tonight.
Okay, so I want to back up a little bit. We were talking about the entry that was the email before that. Does it have the content of the email in this spreadsheet?
Appears there's quite a bit of metadata involved, but the actual content from what I'm looking at is not actually in there.
Okay. Does it say any names associated with the metadata?
There's an email address of Stephanie Murphy. It's at murphylawsarasota.com. There's an email address related to Doug Benefield, and there's, I believe those are the two names that I see that are associated.
Okay. So we left off at sure can do Panera tonight.
Yes. And adds 8 question mark. She responds with a thumbs up, and that was at 7:27 p.m. And she responds with at 9:55 p.m. with a good night and a sleeping emoji. And he responds also with a good night with another emoji. He adds sweet dreams, and then also sends an attachment. Correction: the sweet dreams was the last one at 9:56 p.m. The attachment I just referenced was actually 7 o'clock in the morning the next day.
Okay, so the next day I'm clicking on that attachment, and what is that?
Looks up here a Bible verse.
And what are the messages after that?
All right, so attachment. After that, there's a good morning with a few emojis. If you want, you can come over here for Zoom. And adds, we can grab bagel in CHI. It's 10 a.m. BT. By the way, BTW is just short. And then there's a phone call at 9 o'clock, 9:07 with no seconds. There's a 151. It says there's an incoming message with nobody. And then after that, there's an incoming message with an attachment. It appears to be related to connection to a Zoom meeting, possibly. And then
I'm going to click on that attachment and see if it will come up. It's one of those that will not come up. So go ahead.
The next after that appears to be an ID number. number and a password typically associated with Zoom meetings, and then a phone call with no seconds. And then 9:38, it continues where Ashley Christina loved an image, then liked the message. It's 10 a.m. by the way, and then added, "Ha, oh man, okay, thanks for the heads up." He responded by liking that, and then added, "Set up here if easier for you." And she responded, "That's okay. I guess I should brush my hair and change out my PJs. LOL, I think I can just do it from my phone." He responds, "LOL, you can." She liked, "LOL, you can," and then added, "Quick and easy, LOL."
And what was the time difference between the like of LOL, you can, and the quick and easy?
About 15, 20 minutes.
Okay. And then what was the next entry after the quick and easy?
So it was another action by Doug for that quick and easy, and then added, "So nice to experience quick and easy. Finally, LOL." Then adds, "Smashing good." Then adds, "P.S. You looked great for just rolling out of couch, LOL." And added an emoji. He added, "I'm working on brief, head over soon as get to stopping point like one." She responds with the action of loving the previous message, or one of the previous messages, "So nice to experience quick and easy." Laughed at also the PJ, the PS, looking great comment, and then added, "Ha, thanks, figured I should put a clean shirt on even if I had PJs on the bottom half, LOL." She adds, "And okay, just let me know as you're finishing up." He adds, "Just to ponder while I finish up, thinking about getting all the cars up here, and I thought was to ship the Cherokee up there by transport, which is 900, and either tow my truck or tow to your Jetta. The U-Haul plus the car trailer is about 1,000. That's for the biggest truck, which gives us plenty of room. The option is another pod and tow one of the cars behind my truck. Overall, price about the same. U-Haul, more flexibility, like taking things straight to storage." She responds, okay, things to think about. Maybe best to have you drive the U-Haul and tow your truck behind. Mom and cats will go in the Jeep and I'll drive with Emerson in my car." She added, LOL, the Beverly Hill. He added, LOL, the Beverly Hillbillies coming from dem slums. Forget about cat courier requirements, LOL. She laughed at the Beverly Hillbillies comment, added LOL, then added, I believe, several cat emojis. He laughed at the emojis, then added, headed over shortly, brain approaching short circuit. She added, ha, okay, well, give me a bit longer, finishing up mom's closets now so I can get the cats locked up. He added, he liked the previous message, and then there's a outgoing phone call to Doug for 38 seconds. An outgoing message from Christina says, headed that way. He responds, or he took the action of liking it. Added, we done good, LOL. We have Dr. Q at 10:30. Good night, with an emoji.
Okay. So the liked headed that way was at what time?
That was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And then the good night was at what time?
It's 8:27 okay. At night. So two of them, apologies.
And then after the good night?
After good night, there's an outgoing, indeed, LOL, good night from Ashley. And then after that, there's an attack. Attachment at 5:45 in the morning from Doug.
And I'll click on the attachment. What is that?
Another Bible.
And the next entry?
Appears to be another attachment roughly 15 minutes later.
Okay. And if you could read what this says.
Live a life filled with love. Another Bible verse, Ephesians 5:2. At 9:26, there's a message from Doug. It says, good morning. Minute later, there's an action of loving an image. Second, loving a minute image. And he responds with, Dr. Q's at 10:30. Do you want a CHI? Question mark.
I think that's chai.
Chai. At 9:27, there's a response from Christina. Says, good morning. There's a repeated response, a previous message. Dr. Q is at 10:30. Do you want a chai? And then bagel added to it. She responds, ha, that's okay. Thank you. If I do that this early in the day, I'll be done for the day, LOL, but thank you. He added, he liked that message. And then the next appears to be an attachment from Doug related to possibly a YouTube video. And that was at 9:56 a.m.
And that's another one that moved. And then the next entry.
It's at 10:40, 35 a.m. Yes. From Doug, are you able to make it? Are you able to make Dr. Q okay? She responds, yes, LOL, be in a minute. He responds, no rush, he's still not out, LOL. She responds, I know, LOL, waiting for mom to come out so we can swap. There's a message without just a rectangular square there. And then after that, there's 10:42:35, there's an LOL from Doug. There's a phone call. It's
now, the LOL was at 10:42 a.m., and then what's the next entry?
Correct. 10:42 a.m. was the LOL, and then the next is at 5:39 p.m., which is a phone call from Doug, and with 0 seconds. Then adds, after the phone call, I be here, and then another phone call for 15 seconds at 5:40 p.m. Then,
not to hack Sergeant Bliss, because he will walk, but it's a little tough, although I wonder if he could give us some rest.
That's fair.
And I don't know why, but I think your numbers may be off.
Off different from this?
They might be. Can you look?
I be here is, well, we're not using the numbers that are built into Excel. I want to say they're the
that's
numbers are an actual column. So technically, IB here.
This over. That's what you're looking at.
Correct. IB here would be 212.
If he gives you that number, are you okay with that?
Can you show him?
These numbers here, that's what he's on X spreadsheet.
So
we're on 215, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so if you, Sergeant, just called a number out.
Sure, not a problem. So we left off of 215, which is at 9 o'clock. It's a good 9 with an emoji. 216 is an attachment, a JPEG, and that was at 6:43 a.m.
And that is on the next day, correct? 9:26.
Correct.
And I pulled up the attachment. What is that?
That's like a Bible verse.
Then you can continue from there.
All right, so moving forward, 217 is from Doug with a good morning. 218, she loves the image. And 219, she responds with also with a good morning. 220, Doug sends ready to start with a thumbs up. 221 is a call log with from Doug with 0 seconds. 222, there's a message from Ashley Christina. Okay, I'll text you in a bit with an emoji. I can't tell what it is. Pretty small. Next record is 223. Just one of those action messages, liked a previous message, and it repeats. 224, want to come pick me up, and we can go get the truck.
And that's from Ashley.
And that's from Ashley. And Doug responds, sure, but 225, sure, headed that way. So at 226, I be here, and that's at 12:41 p.m. And then 227 is all the way at 9 o'clock in the evening, and it's from Doug, and it's a good night, sweet dreams. Then at 228, 923, Ashley responds with the action of loving the previous message and also responds with a good night. 2:30, there's another attachment at 6:42 from Doug to Ashley.
I'll pull up the attachment. What is that?
The Bible verse. After the attachment at 2:31, Doug sends good morning. 2:32, she responds, loved an image. And 2:33 with a good morning. 2:34, he responds with looks like a strong fist up emoji. And 2:35, there's also an incoming from Doug with just a little rectangle. 2:36, she responds with LOL. 2:37, he responds, what y'all working on? And that's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. 2:38, about 15 minutes later, she responds, last RAM, LOL, using big boxes and getting the last loose stuff packed up and ready. And also responds on 239, how's it going over there? Making progress? He responds at 240, number 240, at 1:18 in the afternoon. Loose stuff should be a chapter in our book, LOL. Got everything out and in garage ready to throw on truck except couch, aka bed. Pretty much empty. Taking Sully to get his shots, then to doggy spa to get groomed and stay until ready to go. 241, he adds, I'll come there after drop him off at 3. 242, she responds with the action of laughing at a previous message, and it just repeats. Another action of liking a previous message, then adds, 244 adds, great, could you run by Lowe's before you come over? Grab a few large and mediums. 2:45, he responds, sure, I need a few too, which is at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. At 2:35, number 2:46, which is at 2:35 in the afternoon, it's just a like by her, sure, I need a few, which is just repeated from earlier, and then adds, just to be safe, let's do 10 of each just for the last bits here. 2:48, from Doug, he likes the previous message, and adds, and 2:49, okay, let me know anything else, if think of 2:50, she responds, Tate. 2:51, and also adds LOL. 2:52, he responds, ha, okay. 2:53, just finished. Finished vet, headed to spa, LOL. 2:54, she laughed at that previous message. 2:55, he says, headed there. 2:56, she responds, okay. The next line, 2:7, I'm here out front. She responds, okay, 1 minute.
Now when he says, I'm here out front, and she responds, okay, 1 minute, about what time is that during the day?
That's about 3:54 in the afternoon.
Okay, and the next message is at about what time?
3:55 in the afternoon.
And the next after that?
After that, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
So there's an hour and several minutes in between these two.
Correct.
Okay, so after okay 1 minute, what is said?
Then 2:59, about to head back from Doug, and then the message after that appears to be an attachment at 5:11 in the afternoon.
And I'm clicking on the attachment for the record.
Yeah, it appears to be
go ahead, I'm sorry.
It appears to be maybe the U-Haul truck that they're loading up.
Okay. And that was sent from Doug.
That was 5:11. Yeah, that was incoming, yes, from Doug to Ashley.
Okay. And then the next message.
The next is from Doug, and this is number 261. Everything in except couch and 10 medium boxes and 22 cab, LOL. 262, she laughed at the image. 263, she responds, ha, OMG. 264, he responds with trucker on the way, and that's at 5:32 p.m.
At 5:32 p.m., was that the last communication between these two?
I believe so, yes.
Thank you. Judge, can we approach just a moment?
Yes.
Before.
Members of the jury, there's one legal issue that I need to resolve before we finish up with this witness's direct. So I'm going to excuse you in the back. It should take about 10 minutes, my best guess. So please don't begin deliberations amongst yourself. You can communicate outside, send and receive texts, emails, telephone calls, but just don't talk about the case. But don't do any research on the people, places, things, or legal topics you've heard anything about. And I'll get you back out here as soon as I can. All right, you all can have a seat. Detective, I don't know to what extent we're going to be talking about testimony you may have, so I'm going to go ahead and excuse you for right now just to, to be cautious. Please understand the rules of sequestration. The rule of sequestration has been invoked. You're not to discuss your testimony or the answers you've given or the questions you've been asked with anybody outside this room. You're not supposed to talk with any other witnesses about the testimony they've given or the questions they've been asked. And to my understanding, this may be online. You're not to watch or view anything related to the case until you're released from your subpoena or the jury's returned a verdict in their discharge.
Understood.
All right, so just step outside and get you back in as soon as we can. No, I think it's fine because I think they're still going to need them down. I can see all right. Okay, the detective is out of the room. We can have argument on this video.
Thank you, Judge. And thank you for rehearing the issue. I had a chance to research it. We weren't.
If you've got case law, contrary to what people may think, I want to make the right decision. So if you've got case law, I want to hear it.
I actually just sent one to the printer because I didn't know if you'd rather have it. But it's called Lumark. I don't know. Lumarquve. It's 44 Southern 2nd. I'm sorry, Southern 3rd, 171.
Say that again.
Sure. 44 Southern 3rd, 171. There's a yellow flag, but it's for a different reason. This case was...
Judge, are you looking it up electronically, or would you like a hard copy?
No. I'll take a copy if you have one.
Oh, give me 1 second, Judge.
Oh, that's all right. Is that the only one you've got? No, you can have it.
One at a time. I can do it, Judge.
We printed this for you, but then realized we needed two copies, so here's the paper.
It's coming off the printer.
Judge, they revoked my copy.
In favor of the court.
We're not going to do anything until you get a copy.
It should come any second.
Of course, I can't blame their decision, Your Honor.
Right, go ahead.
The part that I'm referring to is on the second page. It's a short case, luckily, where my reading of it is there were text messages and photographs, which I think videos and photographs are treated the same in most case law, my understanding, my feeling, but that there were images and text messages that could not be authenticated by an ex-wife on the defendant. And the trial court did not allow them into evidence. The third DCA here said the court erred. The images and text messages were found on the defendant's cellular phone.
Can you slow down just a little bit for the court reporter?
The images and text messages were found on the defendant's cellular phone seized pursuant to a search of the defendant's home through a warrant shortly after the alleged incident. This fact was testified by the state's forensic expert and is sufficient to authenticate the exhibits. Here, those phones have been in evidence since the day before. The contents of them were admitted with a trial exhibit today and not objected to. The only thing is this one video was objected to, this attachment. And the state would argue, based on this case, that we have established this phone was properly searched, properly downloaded, and the material was found on the defendant's phone, the video found on the defendant's phone, and therefore the state argument should be admitted.
All right. Mr. Taylor?
Just 1 second, Your Honor. Okay, I distinguish it on two bases, Your Honor. They quote U.S. versus Caldwell 11th Circuit decision, holding that authentication of evidence merely requires a finding that the evidence is what it purports to be. Well, that's the exact issue, Sergeant. Sergeant Keyless cannot do that. He can only say this is a video, it was on the phone. He can't say it's a true and accurate reproduction of what took place on that morning. He doesn't know, for example, who was there that might not have appeared in the video, what the motivation was that brought them there. He wouldn't be able to say whether it was under coercive circumstances. I don't think he qualifies to be able to lay that predicate. And second reason why I don't think this case is applicable is, in this case, they held that it was admissible because it constitutes evidence of motive. Judge, this is a second-degree murder case. As the court knows, motive in second-degree murder is not an element. There is no obligation that murder be proven. I don't think they can lay the necessary predicate for it.
State rebuttal.
Just that I think defense counsel's arguments go to the weight, not the admissibility. I think this case stands for the fact that we've entered, without objection, cell phones that contain this video, and then now, without objection, the trial exhibit with the attachments and the CD. The objection was just to one after, which I think is also an issue, but I think we don't have to get there. But I think this case stands for the fact that once we've laid the predicate that this was a properly searched phone and that the data on it was properly removed and the detective testified that everything was in order, then we've laid the predicate for the contents of the attachments to also be admissible based on this case that I can't say the first name of.
What was the date and time of this particular message?
The message was, I don't know that you can read the small print on that, but there's a copy, but it is, if you're wondering if it was before the Panera conversation or after.
I want to know the day and time that this attachment was sent.
It was sent 9/20 of 2020 at 6:40 p.m.
What number are you referring to?
Oh, 25.
And the Excel spreadsheet, which is the data dump from the defendant's cell phone, shows it's in blue. So it's from
the defendant. So it's from the defendant's phone to, I'm sorry, from.
Correct. It's from, right, it's from Doug Benefield's phone,
yes,
to Ashley Benefield's phone.
Yes.
Sorry. Any further argument? Because I wanted to ask that question and know specifically when.
No, sir.
Anything else?
No, Judge.
All right. No objection or no judge?
I thought you said, do I have any further
anything
argument?
Anything else? And you said no?
And I don't. Okay. No judge. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Well, as I said, if there's case law out there that is contrary to a prior ruling, I think it needs to be brought to my attention. And what State versus Lumarque, L-U-M-A-R-Q-U-E, 44 Southern 3rd, 171, at 172 to 173, Florida 3rd DCA, 2010, states pretty unequivocally, the images and text messages found on the defendant's cell phone seized pursuant to a search of the defendant's home through a warrant, which it wasn't here. It's my understanding, the testimony that I heard was that they were provided to law enforcement shortly after the alleged incident. This fact, testified by the state's forensic expert, is sufficient to authenticate these exhibits. So the issue is authentication, and that's where I had initially sustained, because I obviously there was going to be no witness, this Keyless. Sorry.
He says keyless entry as how to remember it. It helps me.
Keyless certainly could not authenticate the video. And just to be clear, I'm not sure, I think it's on the record, that it's going to be a video of the defendant and her mother that's taken by a third party. I outlined it pretty in-depth in my order denying the stand your ground. And like I said, certainly the technical services unit couldn't authenticate it, saying that it's the traditional way that it's a fair and accurate depiction of the events of that day. So then I had mentioned that the bench, perhaps the state could lay the silent witness predicate. However, I don't find that the silent witness predicate was sufficiently laid by the detective, Keyless.
However, apparently, according to this case, it is authenticated by the fact that it was found on the defendant's cell phone that was seized shortly after the incident. And at this point, it's been sufficiently testified to by the state's witnesses and the forensics expert that he did find this video on there. In fact, in addressing the defense arguments, the third DCA goes on to say, regardless of how these images and text messages might have found their way onto the defendant's cell phone, the state has presented sufficient evidence at this stage. Certainly, they met the admissibility that these exhibits constitute evidence of motive. As we've discussed, motive is not an element. But the state has made the argument in the past and makes today that the entry of these items is not for the truth of the matter asserted, but to show the relationship and interactions between the parties in the days leading up to the homicide and the normal texts and banter and communication of a married couple that is in the middle of a divorce. So for those reasons, I will reverse my prior decision and the video would be admissible under this case.
Thank you.
So we did that specifically so you could finish with your direct and the ruling is made so then it's available on cross. I know we talked about different options, but I'm glad we did it that way because I think it makes a lot more sense.
So we can recall him and play it and then we'll attend to the witness.
Correct. So when the jury left, he was on the stand.
Oh.
Right. So I'm just going to put him back on the stand. The jury won't know any different. All right. So if we can bring...
Right.
All right. 5 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. All right, can I go ahead and bring Detective Keyless back in? All right, Detective, if you can retake the stand, reposition yourself as needed. Sir, did you speak with anyone about your testimony or their testimony or anything at all?
No.
You ready to bring the jury back in?
Yes.
Mr. Taylor?
Yeah. Sorry.
Bring him in. Y'all can sit down. Welcome back, everybody. Anybody begin deliberations, communicate with anyone outside the jury about the case or do any research on the case?
No,
sir. Everybody says no. State, you can resume your questioning.
Okay. I just have one thing before I turn witness over. There was an attachment, a video that was sent by Doug. It's line 25. So sent by Doug to Ashley. Correct? Oh, you don't have the sheet in front of you.
No.
Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. Line 25 is an attachment from Doug to Ashley Christina.
Okay. I'm going to play that attachment at this time.
How do you know what it's doing? I think it's giving you clues that I gotta guess.
Not safe.
Get real.
Second part.
Really?
Working mother. Not a working mother.
Working mother, not a working mother?
Not a working mother. I live in a
slum. Oh, no, it's running out of time.
I live in a
house.
And
real house. Wife.
That was together.
Oh, the housewives of.
Real housewives.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Cross. And Mr. Taylor, do you want the screen or do you want the lights back up?
I'm going to use the screen.
Yes, sir. We'll leave it as is.
Do you have your... I'm hearing it. Okay.
Good morning, Sergeant Taylor.
Good morning.
I want to make sure that we can establish the contours of your testimony. From the technical services unit, you're capable and authorized to extract this information from the cell phones of both Doug Benefield and Ashley Benefield.
Yes.
You don't know the context about the messages. You just are able to read what's printed.
I can read what's printed from the extraction, yes.
Right. But, for example, there were quite a few Bible verses. You wouldn't be able to necessarily tell us that Doug Benefield's a very religious guy. You just can tell us, here's the Bible verses that he posted.
Yes, I can tell you that he sent a Bible verse.
Okay. And you can't tell us the reason that either party may have had for sending a particular text. You can only tell us this is what text says.
Correct.
Can't tell us whether the text is true or false. You can only tell us what the text says.
Correct.
You can't tell us if the text is genuine or motivated by fear. You can only tell us what it says.
Correct.
I'd like to pass to you what we marked as Defendant's Exhibit 3 and ask you if you can identify it.
I'm rejecting. No.
Okay. I don't know.
I'm going to pass to you, Sergeant Keyless, what I've marked now as Defendant's Exhibit 3. Those would they not, text messages that you also extracted?
I believe these were the text messages that you may have highlighted during a deposition, and we confirmed that these came from, I believe, Doug's phone.
Correct, yes. And that we requested.
I apologize, Judge. I forgot.
All right, members of the jury, this is going to take a little bit longer. So what I'm going to do at this point is, it's about 11:30. I'm going to let you go to an early lunch. So if you could be back downstairs in the jury assembly room at 12:45, that gives you a little bit extra time. That'll give us time to take care of what we need to take care of, and we'll get you back up here as soon as we can, right after your lunch break. Please remember, don't discuss the case amongst yourselves, don't discuss the case with anybody else, and don't do any research on the people, places, things, or legal topics you've heard anything about.
All right.
Thank you. Go ahead and bring up the lights. Okay, Detective Keyless, we're going to let you go also for lunch. Just remember the admonitions from earlier. Don't discuss the case with anyone. Don't let anyone discuss the case with you. Don't talk with any other witnesses. You can't talk with the attorneys about it. Don't do a search or watch anything on it.
Understood.
If you could be back here at 12:45.
Right, thank you, sir.
Okay, we'll see you back here at 12:45. All right, good afternoon, everyone. We're back on the record in State versus Ashley Benefield. We finished the lunch break, and before we bring Deputy Keyless, Detective Keyless back in, we had left off at a bench conference with the defendant seeking to admit and then question Detective Keyless on Defendant's Exhibit 3, which I will describe as, and it's been told to me that these are from Ashley Benefield's phone. And the printout is from Cellbrite, which the detective testified is one of the software packages that they use to extract and organize data and then put it in a readable format. I will note that in looking closer at Defendant's Exhibit 3, the report, Cellbrite report, has a start time of August 29, 2016, and a last activity of April 19, 2017, and lists 319 attachments. However, Defendant's Exhibit 3 only encompasses August 29, 2016 through December 3, 2016, and the page numbers are not sequential. That is, it's page numbers 2,786, 222, 2,222, 2,223, 2,237, 2,244, 2,266, although I'm assuming that's just because that's the relevant portions that the defense wants to get into. Certainly, State, I'm sure you have these as well, and may...
Well, I guess one of the issues, Judge, is that we aren't being shown anything from the defense until Mr. Taylor's at the podium, and we'd have to ask. So I don't know what they're using because they've never filed a discovery in this case. The only thing they filed is a defense exhibit list, which had the 391 things on it. I have something called WhatsApp AB texts, but they're not all the same. They're some of the same. So I don't know what's in that exhibit because we've never seen it more than a few seconds before we had to give it over to Your Honor. And I think we're kind of being sandbagged here because this continues to happen. What happened yesterday with Ms. Murphy, those were items never turned over. May I approach? If you don't mind. Thank you.
You've raised a much more fundamental issue. There was no defendant's exhibit, witness list and exhibit list pursuant to the rule?
No, there's a defendant witness list that was filed on June 21st. There's then something called a defendant exhibit list, which does not cite any rule. It's not listed as a discovery. It was also filed on June 21st. So there's no there's never been a formal discovery filed in the case. And we didn't receive any of the names of the witnesses or the 391 items we got about a month before trial, and in those items are things that aren't clear of how to even deal with them. And I know that's hard to describe, but if there's emails, there's a million IAs that would never be admissible. There's a lot of things.
A million
IA report, internal affairs reports from the sheriff's office, things like this. So I did my best to go through it, but because we're not being shown it until he's standing at the podium with it already marked, I don't know what any of this is. And it feels a little bit like trial by ambush, which certainly under the rules, much of this should have come to us way earlier than it did. But if Your Honor checks the court file, which I have thoroughly, there's never been a formal discovery filed by the defense, and the original witness lists were filed in late June.
I probably would have liked to have addressed that well before trial. Could have also filed a motion to compel after the defense has 15 days. All right, please.
They attended the deposition of Sergeant Keyless, where we had the specific text messages that the court has seen. They're clearly aware of them. We responded. What we received in our discovery, among other things, was what we referred to as a phone dump. We had 1,000 docs. We have to go through that searching for what was anything relevant that may impact the trial of the case. Our response was to send that phone dump back and put the state on notice that anything in what they provided to us was fair game, that they should do the same, search it. We treated them no differently, Judge White, than they treated us. It's not realistic, and I understand why we received the phone dump like that. It's not realistic to require them to go through such a massive amount of data and single out specifically what they intend to use, because I know the court well knows this is a fluid process, and as the trial date approaches and it's finally carved in stone and it actually begins to happen, then the attention begins to turn to the nuances of all of the subtleties that comprise a trial of the case. We did the same. We did not know specifically what we needed. But at the deposition, I clearly presented these to Sergeant Keyless, and he acknowledged that they were part of what came out of this extraction through the Brightline program.
All right, final thoughts. I'm considering this somewhat of a Richardson hearing. Go ahead.
Judge, I think Your Honor's well familiar with the rules of discovery, but the defense obligation is different than the state's obligation. The state's obligation is to turn over everything in the possession of the state. The defense obligation, as it says directly from the rule, is any tangible papers or objects that the defendant intends to use.
Can you slow down a little, please?
I keep forgetting. Any tangible papers or objects that the defendant intends to use in the hearing or trial. It is disingenuous for this defense team to say they are using 391 items, many of which are inadmissible at trial. Obviously, they didn't follow the dates. We're trying to move this trial. We do not want this case to be continued. We're continuing on the best we can. But now we've come to the point where there are things being offered for evidence that have never been provided to the state, that I can't even find the same copy in what they provided. They never provided this, anything that looks like this. So that's the problem we're having. And the obligations are different, as Your Honor knows. And I think that they have not, in this situation, that's part of the problem the state's having, that we feel like we're a little behind the eight ball because their obligations were not fulfilled.
All right. Thank you both. So certainly the obligations under the Florida Rules of Criminal Procedure are different for the state and the defense. The state is required to list all information or witnesses that are relevant or material being calculated to lead to the discovery of admissible evidence. They've got to categorize witnesses A, B, and C, provide defendant statements and substantive statements. The defense requirements are different. The defense requirements would be turning over or identifying those witnesses that are expected to be called at any hearing or trial and disclosing any documents that are expected to be used at any hearing or trial or introduced at any hearing or trial. It sounds to me like the defense got the phone dump and provided it to the state. Certainly, I think the defense is required to notify the state what portions of that evidence that they intend to use at any trial or hearing. But I'm not going to find that there was a willful violation of the discovery rules because it sounds like the defense provided. I haven't heard specifically. It may not be in the format that we're looking at, but according to the defense, they provided the dump from Selbright.
Well, and also, here's a copy of Sergeant Keyless's deposition of May 31st of last year, and these exhibits, proposed exhibits, are attached to his deposition.
All right.
Judge, can I just clarify real quick? The defense did not provide us a phone number. We provided it to them. They listed it and said it's in our possession. So they did not provide us a phone
number. Okay, so she already had it.
And they never specifically stated this document from the phone dump will be used in trial.
All right. I do think the defense, you have that obligation, though, under the rules to identify witnesses and tangible objects, documents, things that you intend to use. It's very specific in that regard. So I'm not going to find a willful violation because this has been in the state's possession. But defense, you need to let the state know what you intend to use at trial or hearing. And that also includes your list of witnesses, which I understand has already been done. I don't think I have enough information in front of me to determine whether it's trivial or substantial or willful or inadvertent. Well, the willful or inadvertent I think I can find because the state had all of this. I'm just going to require defense from here on out. You need to identify the exhibits that you intend to use at trial or hearing. All right, so
this request that be done before we're in the middle of examining the witness.
And copies need to be shown to the state prior to showing them to a witness.
Of course.
All right, so let's get going on what we were talking about. That being Defense Exhibit 3. And we had an objection. So go ahead as the proponent. The objection's already on the record. Go ahead as the proponent.
Yes. Court wants to take up now the admissibility as it relates to specific instances.
Of Exhibit 3?
Yes. Okay. So we think the predicate has been established by virtue of the 9/11 call and the testimony that was offered by Mr. Sand, especially including the spontaneous, excited utterances of Ms. Benefield that could be heard in the background, that my husband attacked me and I shot him. Now, as the court well knows, I provided Your Honor on May 16th, 2024, with a memorandum, use of discovery depositions as substantive evidence in a criminal trial. I also had previously filed on July 10th, of 2024, a defense request for clarification of court's amended omnibus order. And without beating it to death a second time, I cited the court to Smith versus State, where the defendant was awarded a new trial because of the court's refusal to allow various witnesses other than the defendant to testify about specific acts of violence allegedly committed by the victim. The Florida Supreme Court held that specific act testimony of third parties may be admissible as corroborative evidence if it is first shown that the defendant knew about the very same act of violence. So I know that the court is familiar with that, but in addition, I have for the court the following opinion. The Smith case is a pretty good evaluation of this issue, Judge. It's a first district case,
mm-hmm.
September 4th of 1992 at 606 Southern 2nd, 641. It said as follows. Consequently, if there is the slightest evidence of an overt act by the victim, which may be reasonably regarded as placing the defendant in imminent danger, all doubts as to the admission of self-defense evidence must be resolved in favor of the accused. So, I think clearly Mr. Sand and the 9/11 call qualifies, and I'll tell the court specifically why. In the matter, Your Honor, of Henry versus State, which is a Second District Court of Appeal decision found at 290 Southern 2nd, page 73, goes back to February 1974, Your Honor. What was particularly interesting about this case is the Second DCA reversed and remanded for a new trial because the court, trial court, refused to allow the defendant to introduce specific acts of violence. And this is what the court said. The necessary predicate for the admissibility of either the dangerous character or individual violent acts of the victim is some evidence of an act on his part which would reasonably suggest the need for self-defense. They cite several cases and then they say the following in that same footnote. That prerequisite was satisfied here by evidence that Barrow, the victim, thrust his hand into his pocket, whether for a car key or, as Henry, the defendant, said he thought for a pistol immediately before the defendant shot him. I have to say, Judge White, respectfully, if thrusting one's hand into the pocket is enough to satisfy sufficient evidence so that it's resolved in favor of the defendant when it relates to specific act evidence, a 9/11 call capturing an hysterical Ashley Benefield saying and witness repeating, "My husband attacked me and I shot him," clearly beats the pants off of thrusting a hand into a pocket. So I think we've established the predicate, respectfully, Your Honor.
Do you have a copy of that case?
Absolutely.
Can I hear the citation again?
And I might remind the court, in addition to that, Miss Benefield had the scratches on her side and the swollen eye. Here is the Henry case, Judge. May I?
Yes. Yeah.
Mine.
290 Southern 2nd, 73.
And I have one as well. I don't know if we want to hand it up now and have a reading.
More continuing coverage is on the way.
The Black Swan murder trial of Ashley Benefield from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Press subscribe now.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever. but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.